Happy Monday, guys, and welcome again to the home of sound science and facts. I have a short today. I met up with Sandy Adams at the thinklocal.ie event that was kind of impacted because of extreme left nut bars who caused quite a lot of trouble. But these are the challenges of the times we live in. And in any case, Sandy Adams gave a kind of a viral discussion at Glastonbury Town Council a few months ago. And I got to sit down and discuss it with her. And I think you'll really enjoy the conversation. It's only around 15 minutes. And she goes through the world geopolitical infrastructure that's ramming home all of the weird stuff we've been seeing in the past couple of years. So very informative. Last thing in the description box below, I've got an interesting offer because the world is changing fast and you need to be ahead of the curve, I would suggest. So here we go. Hey guys, I'm here in a beautiful location at the thinklocal.ie event, which had some challenges due to very, very bad people, but that's okay. It is the war. And I've just met up with Sandy Adams. Great to see you, Sandy.
And you. Thanks, Ivor.
And Sandy, you did a 15-minute discussion in Glastonbury Town Council a while back in March, and it went quite viral, and you went through a lot of geopolitical reality. And I'm just first, before we talk with Sandy on that, I'll show a little clip of some of the highlights.
This is what this top-down global control is all about. You think it's a green agenda to actually save the planet. It is not. It was implemented at the Earth Summit in 1992 by a bunch of oil billionaires, crooks. And all of you, bless you, are trying to save the planet and you've been hoodwinked. I was in the Green Party in the 1990s. I left. I was a member of the Ecology Party. I left because it got taken over. It became a Trojan horse for the technocratic agenda that I'm talking about, Agenda 2030. And I tell you what, they planned this from the 1970s. It's a long-term agenda. And I would love to be able to give all of you a presentation. I've been on this for 15 years, and I've been giving talks all over the world about this.
So there we go, hard-hitting stuff, and stuff I was broadly familiar with, but I think you brought it to the council, which was fantastic.
Yes, it is funny because I've been researching and speaking publicly about Agenda 2130 and 2030, and I started when it was just Agenda 21 around 16 years, and it's really that thing that went viral. I didn't even know it was being filmed. I'd just gone along to my town council because, you know, there were all the LTNs happening, the 15-minute cities, and I just wanted to, I think I wanted to truth bomb them, and I thought I only had 3 minutes on an egg timer. That's all you get in any town council, 3 minutes on an egg timer. And they just let me speak. And I thought, this is really weird. So I just carried on. And it was really a download for me. It was almost like a stream of consciousness. I don't even remember what I said because it was a stream of consciousness of frustration of 15 years of them not being able to listen. And I'd had run-ins with the mayor many times over 10 years about Agenda 21 and the policies, the net zero policies and the climate emergency policies they were putting through the council. So for me, it was just like a rant, if you like, but hopefully not too ranty.
Well, it was extremely articulate, and also coming from a concerned member of the public, clearly an educated lady and not someone talking conspiracy theories, but quoting actual organisations. It was fantastic. Now, I got to know this much better a year or two ago. I interviewed Dr. Jakob Nordengard, who similarly is around 15 years researching primarily the Rockefellers, but everything that came from Rockefeller. So maybe it'd be a good idea to go through, not the whole rant per se, but go through the chronological kind of sequence of actual geopolitical events and organizations that have brought us to this kind of absurd situation.
Yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, as far as my research goes, which has really been into Agenda 21, 2030, Agenda 21 was born at the Earth Summit in Rio, de Janeiro, in 1992. And it's where they got the people running the show were a guy called Maurice Strong, who was he was a communitarian. He liked communism, actually. And he was an oil billionaire, friends of the Rockefellers. The Rockefellers were there. the Rothschilds were there, Prince Charles was there, Al Gore, all the globalists, a lot of globalists, Klaus Schwab, they were all there, and they managed to get 178 leaders of countries to sign up to Agenda 21 to save the planet. They were literally, it was a massive coup, really. And at the end of it, they were clinking their champagne glasses in their gin palaces in the harbour, saying, "We did it. We've got everybody to sign up to global governance. And that is it. That's where we are."
It is quite incredible. And I know, and you are well aware, of course, well, Dr. Nordengard has gone back to the 50s and the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. Mm-hmm. And they identified in the 50s, which is quite astonishing, before any scientist was on board, even though Arrhenius and others in the 1800s had noted the warming potential of CO2, and they were thinking it might help slightly prevent severe ice age in the coming centuries. They saw it as a good thing, I believe. But Rockefeller and the guys identified pandemics and climate disaster as two key areas to achieve global governance. They admitted it.
Yeah.
No one knows this in the 50s. And their money went all the way on to the Club of Rome in 73 and up to the Rio de Janeiro.
Well, the Club of Rome were instrumental in this. And they brought out all the think tank. It's a global think tank to bring solutions to global problems. Crisis management, if you like. Yeah. That's what they call it. What's interesting is prior to the Earth Summit, there were three major Club of Rome documents that reports that made the bones of Agenda 21. One was a document called Limits to Growth, which was in 1971, which was all about population control, population. It was commissioned by the UN to the Club of Rome to chuck about ideas about finite resources. You know, there's only finite resources. And it was all computer modeling. And we know where that got us, you know. So a lot of it was computer modeling. At the same time, there was a guy called Paul Ehrlich that wrote The Population Bomb, which never went off. He was in 1970. And around that time, also Zbigniew Brzezinski, he reinvented the technocracy movement of the 1930s about energy-based economy and the new, what he called the new economic order. So that was in 1971. In 1987, there was another major Club of Rome report that was made, which was called Our Common Future, written by Gro Harlem Brundtland, who was at that time she was a Prime Minister of Norway, very socialist lady. She and Maurice Strong, who set up the Earth Summit, wrote it together, and it's called the Brundtland Report. And it was about shifting the economies around, making everything equitable. It was a communitarian. It's a very communitarian report, and it was about shifting the world economy from the polluting West to India and China in 1987. That's when we stopped our manufacturing. It all went over to India and China, who are now the biggest polluters, who don't get sanctioned, and we are. And that's why, you know, I think Trump walked out of the Paris Agreement or Accord. It's not an agreement, it's an accord. So because there was this, you know, they're pumping out so much, they're using fossil fuels, and we're the ones being sanctioned. So this is an attack on the West. It's a controlled demolition of the economy of the West, if you like. And then the third one, which is the most interesting one for me, as far as climate is concerned, was one that was brought out in 1991, literally just before the Earth Summit, and just after the Berlin Wall had come down in 1989, which is key because that club of report is to identify enemies. And because the military-industrial complex needs enemies to continue this charade of manipulation, humanity was identified as the enemy, and they said, you know, we're, you know, scape. They talk about scapegoating in it, and on page 115 of the First Global Revolution, which is this Club of Rome report, they identify man as the enemy of humanity, and they chuck around ideas. They say, you know, in identifying a common crisis that would bring humanity together under a common cause, we thought that famine, flooding, global war, or global warming would fit the bill, and we know which one they used. And they said, in that process, we will define that humanity is the enemy of man, is the enemy of humanity, And that's on page 115. So that's, we were identified as the enemy. That's why we're at war.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, Sandy, but it's looking in retrospect, I'm a corporate guy, obviously never involved in stuff like this, but it's the same stuff when you're manipulating employees. Mm-hmm. And the CEO and the VPs, they say what's going to happen, and yeah. the management, the rest of us and section heads, we roll it down. And no one, the phrase used to be, it's not a democracy, guys. The reality is the power is at the top, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And here you've got these ultra-rich people with these neo-Marxist ideas and God knows what else who want a world government with all of them clinking glasses at the top. And they came up with the genius of not only doing a ruse, which would be very powerful, but actually having the people shamed into becoming involved with it, because they are the problem.
Yeah, they're really appealing to the empathy of humanity. And there's a lot of us who are empaths. And it's, if you don't do this, this and this, you aren't saving the planet. You know, it's a bit like the, you know, with the pandemic, you are killing granny. You know, this is how they get to us. Mm. And they're psychopaths. We know that they're psychopaths. And this is how they get to us.
Yeah, and you know, it's an interesting one, the psychopaths. I think there's various degrees on the spectrum, and sociopathy, probably on average, there's more sociopathy than psychopathy.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But everyone's on the spectrum, but we see in corporate structures, I saw it in my own corporation over 25 years, it was extraordinary how the good, relatively good ethical guys and vice presidents, they became less favored.
Yeah.
And then a new CEO came in, he's a Wall Street guy, and it's all about money. And you take away all the old kind of corporate values.
Mm.
And then you see VPs kind of just slowly retiring and disappearing. Mm. And the people who come in, obviously, are much more sociopathic.
Mm.
And it's an evolution. And
yes,
we have,
yes.
over 100 years, particularly in the last 50, we have an evolution where the more sociopathic generally have risen to the top, because they are successful generally, because they will do anything it takes. And now we move, of course, to a more sociopathic world system that we're discussing.
Exactly, exactly. And it, you know, really, Agenda 21, it became 2030 in 2015 when they created the 17 goals. Prior to that, it was 8 goals, the Millennium Goals, 8 Millennium Goals.
And the 17 are the Sustainable Development Goals.
Sustainable Development Goals, yeah.
All they can hear now is sustainable.
And if you break them down, and in my presentation, which sadly we haven't had time to do today because of what's happened, but you know, I break those down, and none of them are sustainable, and they are actually there to break down our structures, not to build them up. It's nothing to do with building back better or whatever they call it. It's about destroying our way of life and controlling our way of life. And Agenda 21 was when it was birthed at the Earth Summit, and it's an inventory, it's a control and inventory of every resource on our planet and how they are going to manage it without us interfering. They're going to push us into the smart cities. This is what they want. They want us out of the rural areas into the smart cities, where, you know, you're in that sort of controlled, surveilled environment, urban environment, where human beings aren't meant to be. You know, we're meant to have the freedom to roam, all of that.
Of course. And, you know, I'm just thinking of, and I'll send you the link to Nordengard's interview.
You'll love it. Yeah.
But, I mean, he had showed the wording from the Rockefeller Brothers Fund and the early, in the 50s and 60s. And they actually have quotes that they quoted openly that they would need to become. They really viewed themselves the stewards of the material universe. Oh. And the kind of, they referred to the human condition, that they were the ones. So they really believe it is our job to manage the world like an ant farm.
Yes.
There's no conspiracy theory here, because it's all documented. And David Rockefeller himself, in his 80s or maybe 90s, he said, I've been accused by many people as wanting a world government and a one world government and all this kind of stuff. And you know what his quote was in his autobiography? And if that is the case, well, yes, I stand guilty,
I'm
proud of it.
Charged. Absolutely, I'm proud. And do you know that is a key quote, because they do. They want dominion over this earth. And the whole thing that, you know, that the draw into the transhumanist agenda, the post-gender world, which is actually bringing people into transhumanism. And even the MOD have got a 110-page document, government document, on the augmentation of the human being. This is a government document. It's on my PowerPoint. And, you know, this is the way they want it to go, to interface. And, you know, Elon Musk talks about the interface with Neuralink, the interface of man and machine. That is the ultimate goal, is to get rid of the human condition altogether. And the soul more than anything else.
True. And there is all that aspect, because these guys, I view it, and they brought in a futurist. I think it was in 1973 with the Beyond Growth and Limits to Growth. They had a futurist in with that guy Strong, and he was some author, and he about the connected planet of people and machines connected together. So even though it's all utter nonsense, it's very sinister, bizarre, ridiculous nonsense that will just, they want to undermine society and break it down to an ant farm. I think that's the way I view it.
They want to control every resource, every biological entity on this planet, and really reduce it, shrink us down to living our lives. And, they want to draw us into the metaverse. This is their end game. I don't think this is going to happen. It's, living, because we won't be able to track that, in the absolute zero document that I handed my town council then, I gave them this absolute zero document. And it ended up that I was explaining that there would be no travel, no planes out of the UK by 2029, no shipping out of the UK by 2029 or in, and that we'll be a prison island if they're going down that route. And this is why we have to wake people up, because that is what they want. They want to shrink our world down. So in our smart city apartment, where we can't actually even move out of it, probably, you're sitting there in your virtual reality headset experiencing your life in the metaverse, because the world and the reality as we know it is only for the reality privileged. And we have to go into the metaverse and have a different reality with our avatar. This is crazy. It's mad, the stuff of madness. Yeah.
And recently, or last year or so, the metaverse, literally the Facebook nonsense, was rolled out and was a huge loser. So I think you're right, Sandy. You know, people will more and more begin to sense the walls closing in on them, and they'll get more and more aware. Right now, it's pathetic. Humanity, you've got a few percent of people genuinely aware and concerned about this madness. But most people are saying it's a conspiracy theory. But I think that's going to grow, and they know it's going to grow. Hence the cancelling and the problems the guys had with this conference. Yeah. The censorship. So it's going to be a fascinating battle. Lots of fireworks in the coming years. Dark times, I have no doubt. It's going to get really interesting. But you have faith that people will wake up in big enough numbers.
I do. I do. I have great faith in the human condition, in love and being able to see the truth. People really beginning to see the truth. But it's interesting, because I was talking to a friend the other day who's at the moment going through a carbon literacy training, because she is a member of the council. And this carbon literacy training is straight out of China. They're training all our councillors up to deliver this to their communities. And one of the things is a one-child policy, straight out of China, that we should be promoting that in the UK. Getting rid of your pets, that's going to go down well. And what's the other one? Accepting that we need to work by carbon credits. There's a number of very deeply dark sort of content in this course that they're all doing. And I said, the minute you start talking about, getting rid of Fido and not being able to go to Benidorm, they've lost, haven't they, really?
I think so, and I'm kind of a pretty judgmental type person. I think we're on the razor's edge. It's all to play for. I think it's going to be, as I said, fireworks. But I do think broadly they are very well aware that people will wake up as you really encroach on them. And they will have all kinds of plans to manage that.
Yeah.
But I think that's where they're going to get stretched.
Yeah.
Because when human consciousness does begin to really flower, and you may approach a tipping point, we I think will end up at some point turning over this whole monstrosity.
We will.
So I think, yes, there is hope there. But we do need, of course, people just being aware, not of the conspiracy theory. There are none in this. just being aware of the geopolitical reality that the bad guys have the helm now for 50 years. It's brought us to the point where they're really implementing the true madness, and they only are heading towards dystopia. So if you don't wake up on behalf of your children and grandchildren, you're the idiot. That's absolutely basically it.
Yeah, we've got to reach that critical mass to get that tipping point going, and then we'll be fine. But it's about the mass awakening. We're just waiting for people to watch this kind of stuff. The stuff that you're doing is amazing. We're all doing our bit, and we will win this.
Excellent, Sandy. Thanks so
bless
much.
Bless you. Thanks, Oliver. Bless you.
Hope you enjoyed that informative conversation. And it's very important to be informed these days, especially after what's been going on in the last few years. And as I mentioned in the description box below, there are links if you are interested to take action like I have to hedge to a certain extent against what's very likely coming in the world of macroeconomics in the coming few years. So totally up to you, but I've struck up a relationship with the Pure Gold Company. And I think they have excellent terms, and they service UK, Ireland, and the USA as well. They have vaults in New York, so international customers. So anyway, have a look, see what you think. And if you agree with me, you might want to look into this further. Thank you.